This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to ask a great question. What's wrong with American politics? I mean, really, there is a devastating piece in the Wall Street Journal that we will get to later in the show by Joseph Epstein, who's been around for a long time and been following politics for a long time. And he says, this is a uniquely depressing season for politics, whether you're Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative. We'll talk about why. And one of the people with a very provocative theory about why is Walter Shapiro, who is a staff writer at the New Republic, a lecturer in political science at Yale. He has been a columnist for USA Today, on which capacity he was on this show previously. And he's covered politics for Time and Newsweek and the Washington Post. He's published two books and also performed a stand-up comedy in New York. And Mr. Shapiro has a piece that basically argues that voters have never been more evenly divided between the two parties, and that very even division is breaking our political system. Mr. Shapiro, the obvious challenge to your idea is that it's healthy for a political system and it produces big turnouts, doesn't it, when all the elections are so close. What's wrong with this even division and this trend of very close elections?
Well, first of all, when you come to, first of all, because of gerrymandering, which both parties do, when you come to the House, the very close elections are only in about 40 seats. Number two, it'd be one thing if we're in the 1950s and the political parties were not ideological, which meant that there would be a lot of deal makers on both sides. But right now, the parties are both in Congress locked into eternal combat as the Republicans have gone to the Trumpian right and the Democrats have gone a bit to the left. The gulf between the two parties is bigger than it's ever been since World War II in terms of Congress. So what you end up with is you have tremendous battles that decide nothing other than next time we're going to use nuclear weapons.
Okay, you speak about tremendous battles. I was just looking at the final numbers for the House of Representatives. There are only two seats, one in Colorado, one in California, that haven't been decided. And so far, the Republicans have 220 seats, which means the most they could possibly get would be 222. Which probably isn't enough to elect Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. In other words, if you have only 222 seats and you need 218, there are more than four Republican House members who don't want McCarthy to be the next Speaker. What's this going to happen with that?
Well, first of all, and I'm not the total expert on House rules, but I think I think I'm right on this, that what has happened when Democrats ran for office and said that they would never vote for Nancy Pelosi for Democratic Speaker? And remember, we're coming off an election where the Democrats only had a 4 or 5 seat majority, depending on how many seats were vacant. What they would do is these foes would vote present on the vote for Speaker. And what voting present means is their vote is nullified. So instead of 218 votes, it now takes 217.
I see. In other words, if some of the Republicans, like Matt Gaetz,
so you could have 15 Republicans. Let me do the math with, let's say, 222 seats, 4 seats. Anything where you have to do math in your head while you're on the radio is not to be advised. But basically, what you have, that would give you about 8 Republicans who can be say, I will never vote for Kevin McCarthy, but if they vote present instead of vote for someone else, it would have the effect of making McCarthy able to be elected by, would say, 215 votes, which would be one more than the Democrats have.
That's correct, but that implies that they really, deep down, do want Kevin McCarthy to be the next speaker.
Which may not be the case, which is, you know, I'm extrapolating too much from the Nancy Pelosi situation, where Democrats mostly opposed Pelosi because it polled well in their districts, rather than they were personally against her.
Okay, so if what you have here, and it's something you didn't fully mention in your piece, but one of the results of having these very, very close elections, and all of which seem to be decided on a national basis by very tight battles in a few states like Arizona and Nevada and Georgia and Wisconsin, but one of the results of the closeness of all this is the emphasis on negative ads. The numbers now indicate they spent $17 billion on advertising during this recent cycle, an all-time record. And the ads were about 70% negative, telling you how horrible your opponent is. Is it any surprise that people have kind of a dim view of our functioning politicians?
Oh, definitely not. And what is really interesting is I did a piece earlier in the cycle for the New Republic talking to about a half a dozen prominent political scientists saying, what do we absolutely know about elections? And what seems to be what we know is the volume of ads does make a difference, that it really matters if you have more ads than your opponent. But there's been no evidence to say a negative ad works more effectively than a positive ad. So what people are really going from in terms of putting their money into negative ads are basically hunch results of unscientific focus groups. Oh, people in a focus group remembered our negative ad about Congressman Smith and the fact that employs Chinese laborers, to build his house. As a Congressman Smith out there, I'm not referring to that one. But the point is that we just don't know the negative ads work. But there's also the economy here, that a good chunk of that $16.9 billion spent in this campaign, which is dwarfs anything, was spent by super PACs. Super PACs have a few disadvantages. One of them is that they cannot coordinate legally with the campaign. So they cannot have the candidate speaking to the camera the way you do in a candidate's ad. And you don't get access to the pictures of the candidate as a paper boy or paper girl delivering papers on a bicycle. The sort of heart-rending stuff that every politician seems to have in his role somewhere. So it's much easier for super PACs on both sides to resort to negative ads because it doesn't take hard to find a grainy picture of the candidate you're against and a voice of doom narrator to indicate that if Congressman Smith is reelected, the Republic will fall and probably civilization all over the world will come to an end.
You say in your piece, you talk about we've had decisive elections which have really sent a very clear message. For instance, when overwhelming majorities of people rejected the George McGovern wing of the Democratic Party or the Barry Goldwater wing of the Republican Party 8 years before that. You think that it's unlikely that we're going to have that kind of decisive election in 2024. What is your analysis and about the need for some more clear message from voters somehow? What is the possibility of getting that message in 2024? We'll continue the conversation with Walter Shapiro his piece about voters have never been more evenly divided. It's posted on our website at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back. How long should kids have to stay in a dangerous or failing school? In Washington, thousands of kids are assigned to chronically failing schools because they live in the wrong zip code. Michael Medved here for Washington Policy Center. If your child is stuck in a school that isn't helping them fulfill their full potential, shouldn't you have the right to find the educational environment that can? The purpose of public education is to educate children, not to maintain a specific delivery system. Go to fundstudentsfirst.com. Free history show streaming and a download of our daily show ad-free. That's what you get for all of 22 cents a day when you join us as a member, MedHead Plus. This is one of the great deals available to try to enhance appreciation for this greatest nation on God's green earth. Check it out at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Walter Shapiro argues that part of our political problem right now, part of the reason that people look back at this most recent midterm election and feel weary and depressed and worn out by the whole thing is because nothing seems to get decided. Everything is exquisitely balanced and incredibly close. And the common ground on issues is kind of non-existent. What are the chances of the situation being significantly improved in terms of the election, which is now 700 days away, the election of 2024?
The safe answer is always to say that the current situation will go on for the foreseeable future, way into the distance. For example, I was stunned to find out that the difference between the 2004 electoral map, when George Bush beat John Kerry, in 2020, was exactly five states shifted from the Republicans to the Democrats. And three of those states, Georgia, Arizona, and the third state that's eluding me, Nevada,
Ohio?
Shifted very, very narrowly.
Oh, Nevada. All right, okay.
So what we're really dealing with is that this knife-edge politics has gone on for two decades. That said, sooner or later, it's going to crack. And as someone who is alarmed at the Trumpian direction of the Republican Party, I hope it cracks in a way that the Republicans will reformulate themselves. But there's no guarantee of that. And sometimes it takes a while. It took the Democrats being shellacked in three successive elections in the 1980s for them to go to the center with Bill Clinton in 92.
And then the immediate result of that was Bill Clinton won, but he won without a majority. He won, I believe, in 92 when he took the presidency, 43% of the vote.
Because, right, of course, there was Ross Perot drawing about 17% of the vote that year.
Right, 19%.
Actually, Clinton's victory over Bob Dole, in 1996, which seems closer than it was because Dole got about 170 electoral votes, was actually by 8.5 points, which is really the biggest margin in any presidential election since the Ronald Reagan landslide of 84.
Which is remarkable when you think about it, because normally we've had landslides in America.
We had them
would be your advice?
56, 64, 80,
72.
84. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 72, Nixon carried 49 states, every state except for Massachusetts. So what if you were advising first Republicans and then Democrats on what can be done to actually build a working majority for your party, what would you say? What should the Republicans be doing? What should they be avoiding?
Well, obviously, they should be avoiding nutcase conspiracy theories about stolen elections and illegitimate presidents. They should be, avoiding ignoring people who sit down with notorious anti-Semites, and they should be emphasizing a vision of America that may be less government, lower taxes, tighter borders, but with none of the venom, none of the anger that we have seen over the last 6 years. For the Democrats, basically they have gone about as far to the left under Biden as the current majorities and the current mood of the country can take. What they really should be doing is stressing effective governance and running the government well, and basically trying to solve problems, but trying to solve problems in a pragmatic, centrist way.
Do you think that the United States is going to be spared the ordeal of another Trump-Biden race?
I hope so. I hope, and in fact, if I could find decent odds, I would like to find a bookie. I can put a little money on the fact that neither of them will be nominated.
And who in their place do you visualize?
I wrote a piece for the New Republic ridiculing pundits who had not been able to handicap the congressional races 16 hours in advance, being very confident about handicapping the presidential race 16 months in advance. If you didn't know what was happening the Monday before the election, you shouldn't be talking about what's going to happen in 2024. I honestly don't know. And those are dangerous words that don't get you invited back, because it doesn't make interesting radio or cable TV punditry, but it's the only sensible position right now.
Well, it is, but what's so remarkable, and I think your piece actually acknowledges this, is that the level of dissatisfaction in the country is remarkably high. It's close to three quarters regularly who say we're on the wrong track. And that's even people who support President Biden. They may approve of his governance. Some 40% of people do. But at the same time, they think America is headed in the wrong direction. And maybe some kind of boost or control of inflation or return of a healthier economy could help to cure that disillusionment. But can you think of another factor that actually might lead to more confidence in this nation about the way we're headed?
Well, I have always thought that even if it has not been reflected in the polls over the last 2 years, the COVID-19 and the after effects of it and the continuing effects of it cast such a pall over this country, whether you're in a place that takes COVID seriously, like the Northeast, or whether you're in Oklahoma City, and that it's boring, it's not reflected in polls, it's not a voting issue, but as long as this pandemic is still killing more than 2,000 Americans per week, it really puts a pall on everything. And I think it adds to the hair trigger attitudes about inflation, immigration, abortion, you name a hot button issue, and we've gotten hotter with it.
Well, crime, and again, the numbers that they just came out with, brand new numbers, verified by the World Health Organization about the gun deaths in America, and the great majority of gun deaths are suicides. That's an indicator of public gloom. Walter Shapiro's fascinating piece is up at our website at michaelmedved.com. We will be right back with more of those statistics and some real surprises about the level of gun deaths in America and what it means and where we go with it. Coming up on the MedVed Show.
Entertain your brain every day on the Michael Medved Show.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
This vote, the yeas are 290, the nays are 137. The joint resolution is passed.
The House voting on a rare bipartisan bill that blocks a potential railroad strike that could have upended the U.S. economy right before the holiday. The vote binds companies and workers to a tentative contract deal struck in September that offers a historic pay raise, even though several unions voted it down. At approximately 3 a.m. Wednesday morning, at least one tornado touched down in Montgomery County, Alabama. Sheriff Derek Cunningham says the confirmed fatalities were all from the same household.
Right now, we just got two confirmed fatalities. We have one that's still at the hospital, but yeah, they were in the same residence.
Search and rescue operations are ongoing, but are taking longer than expected due to storm damage. USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.
Across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it is a holiday season, but not everything is worth celebrating. For instance, there is this, report in Wall Street Journal says the rate of gun deaths in the United States reached a 28-year high in 2021 after sharp increases in homicides of black men and suicides among white men, an analysis of federal data showed. A record 48,953 deaths in the U.S., or about 15 fatalities per 100,000 people, were caused by guns last year. Okay, I don't like that language. They weren't caused by guns. They used guns. They were caused by people. But the analysis published yesterday in the journal JAMA Network Open, that's the journal of the American Medical Association, gun deaths declined in the 1990s but have been rising steadily over the past decade and skyrocketed during the pandemic. Researchers showed gun-related deaths of women and children have risen, the analysis said, but men remained far more likely to die from shootings. The disparities are so marked, said Chris Reese, a co-author of the study and an assistant professor of pediatrics and emergency medicine at Emory University. Dr. Reese and his colleagues analyzed U.S. firearm fatality rates from 1990 to 2021. Using data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 1.1 million in the U.S. have died from gun-related incidents since 1990. The rates of gun-related homicide have been highest among black men aged 20 to 24. with 142 fatalities per 100,000 people in the group in 2021. That's a 74% increase since 2014. Homicide rates are as much as 23 times higher among black men, and as much as nearly 4 times higher among Hispanic men than among white men. Now, when they say the rates are higher among black men, that's the rates of dying, not the rates of killing. And what it indicates is that to an extent that most Americans don't recognize, most gun deaths that are murders are intra-racial. In other words, most black victims of homicide are killed by other blacks. Most white victims of homicide are killed by other whites. And the rates for suicide are much higher among white men. And the highest rates since 1990s, the geographical distribution of firearm deaths has shifted, with gun death rates decreasing in the western U.S. and increasing in the southern U.S., researchers said. For certain populations that are at higher risk of suicide, more suicide prevention programs can be targeted at them. Right now, they say the biggest risks for suicide, and in many cases, it was very striking to me in Oregon, which has had a tremendous increase in gun deaths, 82% of those deaths are suicides, people killing themselves. And this goes to the encouraging news out of New York, and it's not encouraging because there's not a problem. There is a problem, but at least there is some determination to deal with it. A determination by the mayor of New York to actually do more to address mental illness, which is such a devastating problem for every big city, and even for suburban and rural communities. And yes, that goes to the problem of homelessness. And one of the interesting things is that it's gotten very little attention, but it's surprising to me that it has not gotten more, is there's a headline, Newsom Mayors Clash Over Homelessness. Now, this is Gavin Newsom fighting his fellow Democrats who happen to be mayors. The article says that California Governor Gavin Newsom is facing off with local government officials, many of whom are his fellow Democrats, over responsibility for the lack of progress combating homelessness. Mr. Newsom recently put a temporary freeze on $1 billion of state grants for city and county homelessness programs. He also rejected a slate of proposals from local officials outlining how they would spend the money, saying the measures would have reduced homelessness statewide by only 2% between 2020 and 2024, which he deemed woefully inadequate. Mayors and county officials, meanwhile, have said they need the Newsom administration to provide reliable, recurring revenue streams and a cohesive statewide framework to address the issue. Instead, they said, most state monies come in one-time allocations with little guidance. Many mayors were also rankled when Mr. Newsom told the LA Times that he froze the homelessness funds because local leaders needed to deliver damn results, adding that he would be willing to play mayor of California if they don't. Look, with a new mayor of Los Angeles who appears to be completely misguided on homelessness, and why? Because so many of these mayors are adopting that policy of housing first, that the idea that what you need to do with homelessness is not to have more attention by police officers, which Mayor Adams in New York is demanding, but that what you really do need to do is to actually address the needs for treatment and for police supervision and even hospitalization, even involuntarily, when that is necessary. And the idea that you do need to do that needs immediate attention, New York City will begin hospitalizing homeless people who are severely mentally ill in an effort to move individuals off the streets to get the care they need. Mayor Eric Adams announced the new initiative yesterday to address what he called a mental health crisis among the city's homeless population. City agencies such as fire, police, and the health department and contractors will evaluate and provide care to unsheltered people on the streets and in the subways who are in a psychiatric crisis. And what it took for this was a horrifying surge of increases of people being pushed or attacked in subway stations, pushed onto the tracks. A new team is also being deployed to the subways to respond specifically to individuals with severe mental health issues, according to Mr. Adams, that's the mayor. If severe mental illness is causing someone to be unsheltered and a danger to themselves, we have a moral obligation to help them get the treatment and care they need. Mr. Adams, a Democrat, said the city, in partnership with New York State, will immediately begin training clinicians, outreach workers, and first responders to ensure compassionate care that potentially could include involuntary removals. Removals from where? From living on the streets or in subway stations. Is there some very obvious effort that needs to be made by the leaders in California to maybe follow some examples that they could be getting from New York? There's also an example of mental illness, it would seem. The headline from Raw Story, Capital Rioter, who vowed to be Hitler on steroids, blames drunken frustration for his actions in leniency plea. Hitler on steroids? Who is this guy? We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVed Show. 1-800-955-1776. Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Michael Medved show, one of the glories of the season is sometimes you try to bring together men of goodwill, right? Human beings of goodwill, men and women of goodwill. And that means acknowledging that at times there are ideas in the public sphere and in terms of dealing with some of our persistent American problems that are going to be very worthwhile, that are going to come from sources you wouldn't expect. Eric Adams was elected as mayor of New York. He was a former police lieutenant, but he was elected as somebody who was going to defend the idea of law and order and making the streets and, yes, subway stations safer. And one of the ways of doing that is dealing with the city's homeless problems. Now, the problems of homelessness in New York are nothing compared to San Francisco or Los Angeles or Seattle. I mean, it's just raw numbers. Half, more than half, of all the homeless people living on the streets in the whole country are in the state of California, in that one state. But Eric Adams is dealing with his own homeless crisis and the crisis of violence on the streets, which, by the way, is very directly connected to homeless people living in encampments or on sidewalks or in subway stations or in parks. But here is Mayor Adams speaking about his new policy, clip 11.
And so what we're saying to our responders that we want you to be engaged, make the right determination if a person is not taking care of their basic needs. And if you can't answer the question, call a clinical expert and use your FaceTime, use whatever devices you have to go on a video and show. This is what I have in front of me. Does this meet the criteria to bring this person to get evaluated at a hospital?
Okay, and he reassured that he's not going to be institutionalizing everybody, but there are cases where you need to do that. Clip 12.
And we want to be clear. We don't want us to walk away from this conference because someone is standing on the train talking to themselves, they're going to be committed, because then we're going to commit us all. So that's not what we're saying. We're saying we're going to an accumulation of factors that is going to make a trained professional determine that this person is in danger to themselves because they can't take care of their basic needs.
Okay, this is common sense. And may it spread. Common sense not present with William Rogan Reed, who was convicted earlier this year for his role in the deadly January 6th Capitol riots. He is now trying to have some convictions overturned, blaming his own drunken frustration for his actions. In a new court filing, Reed's attorneys argued for leniency for their client and stated that he has long suffered from crippling anxiety and depression, while adding that over time, he learned to cope with his anxiety by self-medicating with alcohol. I'm not the only person to follow that pattern. And by hiding behind, quote, a braggadocious, loud-mouthed online persona. One example of Reed's loud-mouthed online persona, notes his attorney, came in the wake of the Capitol riot when he warned federal law enforcement officials that you're not going to incarcerate me, mother beep. Additionally, Reed vowed online, I'm going to be just like Hitler on steroids. Uh-huh. Now that he's at the mercy of a judge, however, Reed is singing a different kind of remorse. Quote, I was filled with liquid courage and the energy of the crowd, Reed said in the court filing, referring to his decision to storm the United States Capitol building and to attack police officers. I never intended to damage anything either, but did so out of drunken frustration when I threw a remote at a TV screen and tipped over a water cooler. I think there may have been some worse malfunctions than that. And speaking of malfunctions, this latest warning today from Carrie Lake, the former candidate for governor, nominee for governor for the Republican Party in Arizona, who lost the election by 17,116 votes. And here's what she said might happen, will happen, if more people don't protest her loss. Listen, clip 7.
We feel very confident in our case, and I have not given up one scintilla of the fight I have in me. Somebody said, Carrie, you're fearless. And I said, you know, I guess I'm fearless right now in this difficult time, because what I fear most of all is what happens if we don't step forward and act with courage right now. What we're left with, we will have a shell of our country. We look at what's happening in Brazil and what's happening in China. We'll be looking a lot like China. And I'm not talking about the protests happening now. I'm talking about we'll be enslaved by a globalist system if we don't stand up right now. This is our moment. This is our true moment right now in our history.
Okay, we're going to be enslaved by a globalist system if you don't overturn the verdict of voters in Arizona. She went on to ask people to go to jail in her behalf. By the way, if anybody is ready to do that, you can call us. Here is Carrie Lake.
I wish that somebody would say, you know what? Arrest me then. I don't care. We need people with courage to say, class what felony? Go ahead. Go for it. Arrest me. Because this is a botched election and you're disenfranchising the folks in Mojave County when you allow this kind of an election in Maricopa County to stand.
Okay. The question that everybody, including Steve Bannon, should ask Carrie Lake is how does this end? It's basically when you're sitting down, you're writing a screenplay. When you're, I don't know, when you're sketching a play at a football game. When whatever you're doing, whenever you're planning, you ask yourself, how does it end? How do we win? How do we get ahead? How do we gain? How does this work? How does this help the Republican Party? How does it help Carrie Lake? Does anybody have more respect for her because she refuses to concede? And she's talking about courage. How about the courage to acknowledge your loss gracefully, constructively? And by the way, it's one of those things that I can't stop thinking about. One of the hinges of history was President Trump's decision not to accept his defeat. And I honestly believe this, and I would be very glad to argue it, is that if President Trump had conceded graciously, okay, maybe that's asking too much, if he conceded, period, and acknowledged that Biden had won the election, he was going to be president, he had attended the inauguration, which virtually every president not named Adams has done, and, okay, if he had done that, he could be cruising toward renomination right now. Seriously, I think it's extremely likely, because Americans tend to have affection for our former presidents, even former presidents who lost. Look at the way that people responded. Gerald Ford ran a very close race against Jimmy Carter. Even Jimmy Carter himself, who lost in a landslide to Ronald Reagan, people looked at him with some sympathy and support. And President Trump, had he not held on to the obsession of the stolen election. And the point about that obsession of the stolen election is there was nothing he could do about it. Even if you feel that there were proper questions, he had some 60 court cases, most of them heard by judges he had appointed, who all went against him. And one of the things that is most important, and it's an important lesson to learn in relationships, personal relationships, business enterprises, everything, is to be able to lose constructively. Nobody likes it. It's not a pleasure to have setbacks. But you come back from those setbacks, you can't even begin to come back to those setbacks until after you have acknowledged them. And that they happened. Because gripping reality is one of the essential tasks to any kind of leadership. What about leadership on the environment? And the reality that it's not all up to government. There are things that conservative individuals can take on. We'll talk about that with Todd Myers of the Washington Policy Center and much more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.